Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. And of course, on today's show, we have Christian Anderson. He's the executive director over at Pisces. And of course, we'll be talking about rockets and space exploration. And hey, Christian, I want to welcome you to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thanks for having me, Bert.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. And, you know, I have had Pisces featured on the show before, but, you know, I haven't had anybody on for a while, so I wanted to definitely kind of catch up and find out what's new at Pisces. So let me ask you, okay, first off, what does Pisces stand for?
So Pisces stands for the Pacific International Space Center for Exploration Systems.
Well, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Now, from a little bit of a history standpoint, okay, maybe start with what exactly is the purpose of Pisces, and maybe we can talk a little bit about the little bit of back history, since, you know, I've been familiar with Pisces when it was part of the department that I was, you know, I'm in, which is DBED, but now it sort of has moved on to the university over in the Hilo campus. So tell us first, you know, what is kind of the real mission of Pisces?
Yeah, so the mission's changed a little bit. Initially, we were formed as a space program for the state of Hawaii. As you mentioned, we were part of DBED. We were there for a number of years, and then 2021, there were a number of changes in the state, and it was decided that it made a lot of sense for us to move from DBED to being attached to the University of Hawaii at Hilo.
Mm-hmm.
The initial mission was focused on the commercialization side a little bit more, which makes sense since it was in DBED. And as of our move to the university, which really got set up and running in May of last year, we were established in the College of Natural and Health Sciences here at University of Hawaii at Hilo. And in a nutshell, I'd say our purpose or our goal is to advance education and higher education along with workforce development through space technology research. One of our main focuses in our space technology research is something that's in the space realm they refer to as ISRU, which is another acronym for a really long set of words. But in a nutshell, it means don't take it with you into space if you can make it in situ, in place.
Ah, I see. Yeah, yeah.
So it fits well within UH Hilo, and most of my staff have are native Hawaiian. It fits in with our background with the Hawaiian Voyagers. Same sort of concept. You know, you're traveling to a new land. You don't take everything. You take the tools you're going to need, the seeds or the roots that you need for plants to grow. And you go there and you make a new life using those tools. And that's become very large, a large focus within NASA and the space community within the last couple of years.
And Christian, you've had a long history with Pisces, so it's not like you're new coming into the executive director position. You were program manager right before. And
yeah,
maybe give us a little background on how long you've been at Pisces and what projects were you working on then?
Sure. So when Pisces was initially sort of a brainchild of an organization called JustSap. It was a Japan-U.S. Organization. That was like 2007. And so I came in at 2008. Initially, we were doing logistics for large-scale NASA and Canadian Space Agency field tests, which we did basically every other year, so 2008, 2010, 2012. And somewhere around 2013, we decided that we wanted to start doing a lot of the research ourselves. So we started doing a lot of research into how we use native basalts, which is the fancy name for the soil that we have here in Hawaii, volcanic soil, how to use them for various things, for structures, for infrastructure. And the main reason for that, that ties in with space, was that the moon is largely basalt. There's a lot of basalt on Mars as well. And, of course, our island is basalt. And so it's sort of a win-win in terms of space exploration and in terms of sustainability here at home.
Yeah, it makes sense. So that's kind of the background of your projects that you're working on. And do those projects still, are you still working on those? Are they, do they have a role to play in the, you know, the 2024 version of Pisces?
Yeah, yes, they do. We just finished a grant in February. We were doing, we were casting basalt. So we were taking quarry material, melting it down into essentially lava, and then pouring them into casts to make small parts, and then annealing them. We did do some of that. Our current work we're doing is we have a grant from NASA and a phase two working with Astrobotic, which is basically building upon some earlier work we did with a binder using, it's essentially a liquid that you mix with the basalt and it binds it, but it's a liquid that we believe could be produced in in situ in space. Those tiles that we made with that don't require heat, so they're low energy. They can withstand rocket plumes. We've tested them in the desert. And so for the phase two work, we're working on designing and building an extrusion system for that material for a potential lunar mission.
Yeah, no, you know, when you mentioned like the transition into the university environment, do you still have a pretty strong kind of economic development focus? I know you mentioned workforce development, but is there any kind of pull by the mere fact that you're in close proximity to researchers to get sort of pulled into the research realm?
Yeah, it's been great, actually. There's been a ton of synergies that have really paid off since we've moved into the university. For example, we have a Helolani rover. It's a large rover for testing various payloads. Just this year, we had a computer science class, a senior-level computer science class here at UH Hilo. The students went through, they documented the software, they started to update the software, and we expect, for example, to continue that work in the coming semesters, having them do things like integrate 360-degree cameras into the rover. What's been nice also is we just have a ton of student involvement. Like this year, I was joking earlier, but we're during a school year, our staff is outnumbered by the students that work with us. We had like 5 paid interns this year. We had 10 other students that were directly involved in our research projects. Overall, it's been a great experience. We're working now with a geology department on some projects, working with some of the physics and astronomy department, and even marine science, which most people don't think of when they think of space-related research.
Yeah, you know, Christian, I do want to get into some of the projects that, you know, you've just sort of touched on, and I am a regular recipient of your newsletter, so there's a lot of interesting things kind of going on over there, and I'd like to give you a chance to, you know, maybe delve a little more deeply into some of these. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Christian Anderson, Executive Director over at Pisces, and we're talking about space exploration and projects that help you know, I guess, test out the concept of building it when you get there. So I think that's going to be an interesting conversation. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Anchor Systems Hawaii.
Now, Christian, let's reintroduce you. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. And we're talking to Christian Anderson, Executive Director at Pisces. And we're talking about the various projects that Pisces has engaged in. And, you know, one of the things that, along with rockets, I think there might be some interesting rocket stories you can tell me. But there's the lunar Vulcans and NASA, what they call a NASA Mines Design Challenge. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So earlier in the school year, Dr. Heather Kaluna, she's one of the co-chairs for the Physics and Astronomy Department, and myself, we wanted to look at creating controlled growth chambers for space applications, but specifically with a focus on crops that we're familiar with in Hawaii, like kalo and uala.
Mm-hmm.
So we had five students that started working on the project, and Dr. Kaluna had come across NASA Mines, had put out a grant call, and four of the students applied for that, and they were accepted. And their main focus was cultivating uala effectively, and the main reason for that in space would be to reduce the vegetation and the equipment for that resupply missions to the lunar surface would need to take. They're excellent students. They ended up winning second prize for their technical poster within the NASA Mines program. I think all of these students, this is their first exposure to NASA, and they have to go through a number of the procedures and processes that NASA engineers do on these sorts of projects. So it was a great learning experience for them, but they also gave us a lot of valuable information on propagating and growing uala in sort of these low-nutrient sort of systems.
What is it about these low-nutrient systems that, not only gets you to, raise a sweet potato that's edible, but how do you compensate for the fact that it's a low-nutrient environment?
Yeah, so some of that you have to compensate for, unfortunately, using essentially fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
But uala and kalo, from what I've seen in the literature, it's very unique in that it creates, the oxalic acid tends to create, I think, oxalates in the soil, and it breaks down the soil and some of the minerals in the soil. And so it actually can extract some nutrients that aren't readily available within the soil. It's why it does so well here in Hawaii. And like I had mentioned before, because the moon, in large parts of the moon are basaltic, we thought it was a good analog for growing that as a food source.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And is, when you talk about this project, would you consider it a Pisces project, or is it a student project that is overseen by a professor in, the natural sciences department?
So a little bit of both.
Okay.
In that Heather, Dr. Kaluna, who's in physics, astronomy, and Pisces, we had the idea to do this project. But what we did was we went out and we brought these students in. They were interested in it, but when they were brought in, we wanted this to be something that was student-driven. So for the NASA Mines, it was almost entirely, if not entirely, the students who decided what direction they were going to go, what equipment they needed, and we were really just there to mentor them if there were any specific questions on the process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, speaking of rockets, and that's something that I think Pisces is also interested in. What sort of student sort of rocket-based projects are currently kind of underway? Or maybe, you know, is it more launching of rockets, or is it, you know, payloads on rockets? What is it that Pisces gets involved in?
So most of our involvement these days is more on the infrastructure side. So what needs to be in place, say, on the moon to allow rockets to safely launch and land. So we have done a little work with solid rocket motors in static tests. We've tested our tiles using them. That tends to be sort of the limitation of our use of rockets currently. We've also done, as I mentioned, with Astrobotic, we've done some testing in the Mojave Desert, also on our landing pads using fuel rockets.
How does Pisces select these projects? I mean, they sound pretty varied, right? From you know, doing sort of the basalt kinds of projects to infrastructure on the moon to, you know, looking at these sort of growth chambers. How do you find these projects? I mean, they're vastly different, but all interesting. But, you know, I mean, you got to find kind of like the funding. You got to find the students. And what would you consider to be sort of the connecting tissue that keeps them all sort of in the same sort of net that is part of Pisces' wheelhouse?
Yeah, so I would say the connecting fiber in all of this is really that these are all projects that have a direct application to Hawaii, and they actually make use of Hawaii's strengths. So, you know, the growth chamber, for example, makes use of what our ancestors, the knowledge they've gained in growing kalo and uala here on volcanic soil. Our infrastructure stuff is all, how do you build with basalt? How do you do it efficiently? We just recently, we worked with the UH's geology department and Professor Liz Gallant, who is a new hire from the USGS Hawaii Volcano Observatory. We decided to procure a ground-penetrating radar. That has space applications looking for things like lava tubes, cracks, subsurface water deposits, but it also has a lot of applications to geology here in Hawaii and a lot of uses. So that's another example of something where we looked at it and said, this is a project that excites us from a space perspective, but it also excites us and brings value to Hawaii in terms of the strengths of Hawaii's own geology.
Oh, makes a lot of sense. I do want to talk about a couple other things that you're involved in. You mentioned Helelani and of course, you know, Makerspace, but we will hold that thought again. And of course, we'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Christian Anderson, Executive Director of Pisces, and get into some of the projects that they're working on. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training, and the Rice Partnership.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Christian Anderson, Executive Director of Pisces. And you know, what I wanted to get you to talk a little bit more about is you mentioned Helelani, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what exactly that is.
Yeah, so Helelani is a large-scale rover, about 1 meter by 1 meter. Originally, it was brought to us in 2010. It was under contract from the Canadian Space Agency, and they were using it to test autonomous vehicles carrying different space payloads. After that project was finished, we got a long-term lease, and then eventually it was given to us. We use it for a number of things. So one thing we use it for is it's a great teaching and software platform, teaching kids how to do the control system, how to do power management, things like this. We also use it quite a bit this last year for international outreach.
Mm-hmm.
It's teleoperated. We have a graphical user interface that was largely designed by interns, UH Hilo and even some local high school interns, that enable users from around the world to connect up and control it, be able to view through its cameras what it's doing, to give students a better understanding of how to deal with sending out commands and dealing with time delay for space applications. We also use it for some of our research. We're hoping that with our ground-penetrating radar that we're going to go after some grant opportunities to incorporate the GPR into our rover to do some tests relevant to finding subsurface water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Now, you also mentioned makerspaces, and I'd love to give you a chance to talk about what is Pisces thinking about in that particular arena.
Yeah, so this came about fairly organically once we moved into the university. A couple of us from Pisces and computer science department had been talking about having a common shared space for a lot of the equipment that we have and they have.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a new hire, Steve Dew, who's in marine science, who independently had also come up with that same idea, and pretty quickly it snowballed. And so at the moment now, working with both geology department, the computer science department, marine biology, physics and astronomy, and hopefully the upcoming pre-engineering program, we're looking, and we've got it sussed out. We just need it to be, we need a space essentially, but to have a makerspace that is for collaborative research and development, that offers a space for faculty and students to do that work.
Mm-hmm.
In large part because we are a smaller university, but we do have a lot of equipment. It makes a lot more sense if you have some common use areas for some of this equipment. So this we plan on having like electronic testing and prototyping equipment, 3D printing, some small part fabrication equipment in that space. And most of that, or a majority of that equipment, we already have on hand. But it's also enabled us to work with a lot of the different departments within natural sciences.
Mm-hmm.
Marine biology, for example, there's an interest in printing out in 3D printers different substrates to look at what are the best substrates for, say, coral, to get coral to make, start new growth. So each department has its own uses for the equipment, has research associated with that equipment, but allowing us all to have an opportunity to use all the equipment really helps, should help quite a bit.
Now, Christian, you mentioned kind of the main focus and mission of Pisces being education and workforce development. What's your plan for the students that are going through some of the curriculum, as well as the projects that they work on? What is it like on the Big Island or anywhere in Hawaii in terms of life after Pisces? I mean, what do you do after you've gone through some of these great projects? Is there opportunity that exists here?
There's some opportunity, but that is a little bit of the heartbreaking part of this is we've had interns go to work for JPL, mm-hmm. or NASA or Google, various jobs, but they're all leaving. And I would love to see industries grow to support the homegrown brain trust that right now is really becoming a brain drain. There are some aerospace companies that have started up on some of the other islands, Maui and Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
So that looks promising. But yes, unfortunately, at the moment, for a lot of these, it's giving them experience to go on, and for a lot of them, it's off island.
Wasn't the purpose kind of like the purpose of Pisces as well as the, you know, the sort of the aerospace office when it was around to really kind of create the environment for, you know, opportunity in terms of businesses as well as kind of an economic development angle for, you know, getting like you said, the young students involved, having them go through a good sort of experience with the different projects you just mentioned, and then have them go off to a potential, you know, job that exists on the Big Island. What do you consider to be some of the obstacles from that actually happening?
I think one large obstacle that we see, especially on the manufacturing side of this, is the energy cost.
Mm.
We have seen some startups, which is nice. My engineer Amber Imai Hong, she had done a project at UH Manoa with another professor there, and they spun off and created their own company that sells like nanosatellite kits. So there is a little bit of that, but I think for the big stuff, the big obstacle really is energy cost, and I think that, to be honest, I think that's probably the biggest obstacle to a lot of this.
So you don't think geothermal would be a way of bringing that cost of energy down?
No, I do. I think geothermal would definitely be a huge benefit,
mm-hmm.
expanding geothermal in the state. From my point of view, it makes the most sense. It's something we have abundantly. But you know, we're also focusing a little more since we moved into the university into projects that do have some of these off ramps. So if I go back, you know, talking about the ground penetrating radar, hoping that students get trained up on that,
mm-hmm.
there are jobs on the island that could utilize that. It could be used in construction, archaeology, geology, as well as a number of other sectors.
Well, Christian, you know, there's a lot of great stuff going on with Pisces, and where can people find out more information if they want to follow up with the project you just mentioned?
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot, Bert. Yeah, if people want to find out more, the best place would be our website, which is www.pacificspacecenter.com.
Very good. I'll put that up on our show notes. And of course, Christian Anderson is the executive director at the Pacific International Space Center for Exploration Systems, or Pisces. Hey, Christian. Hey, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about art, tech, and FESPAC. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HBR One every Wednesday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. You stay safe. You stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.